Me.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's how I warm up.
I see. It's all about me.
Me.
You got the intro there, Dan? Probably have it memorized, huh?
Actually, you would not, you would think, but...
I'll have him try. After, okay, go ahead, Dan. Best you recollect.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, from Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus with rejuvenative radio waves. This helps get a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Is it working, Katie Green and Michael W. Dean?
Oh, I feel it. I don't know what sounds Michael's feeling right now.
Katie got a hairball.
I think we should also mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Gov license, and this allows use by anyone except for governments. It is not, it promises no government guns for violations.
Yeah.
It's entirely shame-based, and it is not copyright-based. Yeah. That was all from memory, Michael. That's good, man.
Well done.
Javi Barker can't even remember the first line of that. I think you guys collectively are like the new Nima. Like, for a while, Davi was the new Nima. Like, all the hosts are great. This show used to be me and a guy named Nima Vidati, and then he left to go make babies. Like, he just sits around all day with his wife, just working on making babies 24/7. And
that's my dream job. One day, man.
Without the babies,
I'm not okay about the babies bit. Though.
Yeah, they have medications for that now.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't actually sit around making babies. He works three jobs and then comes home and makes babies.
Well, dude,
and she takes care of them.
They are expensive little things.
Oh, I know, man. Just think how many microphones and like how much audio gear you could buy with what it takes
to
raise and school a kid for 21 years.
You could buy
ocean, like for two kids, you could probably buy, you know, Hyde Street Studios in San Francisco, which is where my band recorded. And, you know, it's where like Jimi Hendrix recorded. Mm-hmm. It was called Wally Heider Recording back then. But yeah, I don't know. There's enough kids, man. I think people should adopt. And I don't know.
Well,
but that's where we're at with dogs, because our dog is a rescue dog.
Oh, yeah.
We got him when he was about two.
Speak up, son.
And,
like you're on radio.
I pretend I'm on radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Barney, our dog, when he was about roughly two.
Such
and
a
we got
Scottish
him from a cat and dog home.
Barney.
You got it from a cat and dog bar, did you say?
Oh, no, like a home, like a shelter.
Yeah, like a shelter, yeah.
Turn Dan up 5%.
What was funny, Will, was the fact that when we first got Barney, he'd obviously had a bad time because he'd been found wandering about, and he had a thing about men, because when I went to touch him or my brothers or anything, he would recoil away at first. But see, now you would never imagine that was ever the case. Now he's nine and we got him when he was like two, and you would never imagine that he was a damaged little dog at one point.
We were really, really lucky, because the day I went, my dad saw him first, and I was really passionate about getting a rescue dog. At the time, I was kind of toying between getting a bred dog or like a shelter dog.
Just when you said bred dog, I thought like a dog made
a dog bread.
A dog that was bred to be sold.
Surely not.
That's like a puppy mill or
Yeah,
those aren't good.
I'm sort of funny about that. I don't really like see people like, not against any dog breeders, but see people that like mercilessly breed their dogs and stuff. When you see the amount of cats and dogs that need to actually be rehomed, you know, it's a shame.
In Glasgow, there's a huge epidemic of Staffordshire Bull Terriers or Staffies that are generally considered, though I do not agree with, they are generally considered a violent breed of dog. I believe there are no bad dogs, they're bad owners.
I agree totally.
And that is my personal belief. And,
yes.
Obviously, the cat and dog homes here are, there's like two of them, and they are filled with these dogs. And when we were there, I saw Barney, and he was the youngest dog in the place, and he was two. And we totally fell in love with him. And it was nice as well, because it was an opportunity for us to sort of do something like, to try and at least do something to help while still benefiting from it at the same time. We got this awesome little dog, but he was also now in a loving home instead of in a little steel cage.
Yeah.
So we were pretty happy about that. But no, like, animals are just amazing.
That will get you, you know, taking care of that dog will earn you an indulgence. Do you know that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not
to get out of hell. It'll earn you an indulgence it'll earn you an indulgence to, you get to violate the non-aggression principle once if there's a really good reason for it.
Ooh.
Do
we get like gold stars now? Are we going to have like fiend stars?
Davi's supposed to make a certificate, but he hasn't yet. But he and I are the only people that can issue these indulgences. And
I see.
You guys get one. And you also get on the golden floppy disk of redemption. That's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Does that mean we get one between us or one each?
Don't be greedy, Dan.
I think it's an important point. You know, we get to punch one person.
Are you planning on going anywhere?
I think you get one, and I see how you do with it. And you know, once you've used it, you let me know, and I'll see if you need another one.
I'll be honest with you. I would.
If Katie uses it, the person will be in hospital.
Yeah. No, I'm a big woman.
So, who are you people and why should people care? Tell us.
Well, people shouldn't care, but
we're Katie and Dan Green from the Greening Out podcast.
Yeah, we are the, as far as we know, the only libertarian podcast in the country of Scotland.
We like to make that clear. As far as we know, if you're out there, please come to us and
let us know. We'll have you on.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's who we are.
Yeah, and like we say, we like to just encourage people to think outside the box a little bit.
We're kind of weird married couple.
Well, we're not weird, Dan. We've
been called weird on several times.
It's fun. And we like to have fun here. I'm going to get a sign that says we like to have fun here for the door.
Or what about one that says, the beatings will continue until morale improves?
No, I'm going to get one that says your unattended children will be eaten.
How about a sign that says, quiet, please, we're having fun? You know, one of the funniest unattended children signs I've ever seen was, in Los Angeles, it was in a coffee shop I used to go to. They had a sign that said, unattended children will be given a cappuccino and a kazoo.
See,
the kazoo would just be annoying.
Can I just tell you one of the best ones that I ever saw was it was one of the first showings of that film, the Hunger Games. And it was like, please note that any unattended children will be made to fight to the death in the cinema arena or something like that. It was great. It was really, really fun. I'd like to put one up in my shop where I work, but I've been told categorically no.
And you don't work.
We'll probably get sued.
You don't work in an anarchist T-shirt shop with rude T-shirts in a mall, like in that show. What's that show?
Saxondale. Yeah. Oh, like I love that show. I'm kind of like her.
My wife's kind of like her. I'm kind of like him.
You're like Tommy Saxondale.
Dan's kind of like him, and we're sort of that couple.
I'm too young to be Tommy Saxondale.
I'm the same age as him, and But you're kind of an Americanophile. Is that the word? He's an Americanophile.
You could call it that.
Steve Coogan.
No, the character.
Well, he's sort of.
The character. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's toured with a lot of sort of American bands.
No, but
his car's cars classic. Are, you
know, he's got a big Mustang, the big yellow Mustang, and all that kind of thing.
His car is like what a redneck with a good job would have here, I guess.
Tell us what you really think, Michael.
Yeah.
Would think of that? Yeah.
Well, I used to have a muscle car, but it wasn't as nice as his. I used to have a Plymouth Barracuda, 1966 Barracuda.
Barracuda.
Which looks kind of like the Batmobile. It's got those big fins and a big round back window. Actually, like what I paid for this car, I found out if the back window ever got broken, replacing the back window would cost more than I paid for the car.
That's the really annoying thing about really amazing, interesting cars, because it's just so expensive unless you are like a
mechanic,
you know.
But even if you are
a millionaire,
even if you are a mechanic, like you could not find the window,
the parts,
for this thing. You'd have to have it blown or something. But I saw, you know, LA is car culture capital of the world, and I probably saw 50 Mustangs a day, 50 classic Mustangs a day.
Wow!
The whole time I lived there, the 5 years I lived there, I only ever saw one other 1966 Plymouth Barracuda, because it was one of the lowest production line numbers ever of like an American production car from Detroit. I mean, the 66, which was very different looking than the 65 and 67, the 67 kind of started to look more like a Mustang, but Google Plymouth Barracuda 1966. It's the weirdest looking American car ever. And I had one of these. Yeah, I mean, I saw two of them in 5 years, one other besides mine. And I used to like, it always parked downtown by the art museum. Whenever I was down there, I used to try to park next to it. Just like, because it was weird. Like, so they could like each other or something. I never met the person.
1966, Michael.
Yeah, but I think there were only like 22,000 of these made or something, which is incredibly low for an American Detroit car from Mopar. You know?
I've just seen it.
Right, okay, so I'm looking at this thing now. That is actually really sweet. I actually really like that car.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny how you mentioned that kind of thing, because my uncle used to be a mechanic, but he said... now small mechanic shops are slowly dying out. Well, here anyway, because it used to be that, like, you know, you could fix any car, but now if you have, say, a Toyota, there's certain Toyota parts that only work in Toyotas, and same with like Mercedes and stuff. So that's why you end up a lot of the time for certain parts you have to take them to like the dealership you got it, because they have the mechanics that have the right parts there. And
yeah. Do you think that's the free market or the opposite of the free market? Do you think,
or is it planned obsolescence? Actually, I could get a lot of parts for this. I actually learned to, like, you know, replace filters and replace carburetors and replace battery clips because I never knew anything about that kind of stuff, because everything in this was original, and it was like, you know, from 1966. So every couple weeks, one of the original parts in the engine would break. But old Mopar American cars, like, everything's right there when you open it. You know, it's not all sealed. I mean, like modern cars, you need, I mean, they have like intellectual property. Like, literally, you have to be an authorized dealer to buy the proprietary tools to open the engine. But these old American cars, like, you open it up and it's all right there, and you can fix everything with like a wrench and a screwdriver. So I kind of learned to do some of that. But, and if you're looking at these pictures of this cool car, they're all painted. Mine was painted flat black primer. You know, it wasn't all fancy. It looked spooky. Oh. It looked like a devil car.
No, but that's creepy and cool, though. Creepy, like, cool. That's nice.
And then I stenciled my web address on the back of it as average. So, like, everybody behind me in traffic. In L.A. saw kittyfeet.com.
That's pretty cool. It's funny that you mentioned planned obsolescence, because there was a great documentary about that called The Light Bulb Conspiracy. Ooh. Because apparently light bulbs can, there is one in America that's gone on for over 100 years.
Oh, Jim Jesus has debunked that, though.
Yeah. Has he?
Yeah. Has he debunked
but there
everything?
Is there is a there's a workers' argument for planned obsolescence. Ooh. Maybe when we get back.
I don't want to argue. Worms. Peace.
Worms.
I'll argue.
Okay.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow. Meow right back, man.
Yeah, so the light bulb conspiracy, Jim Jesus has debunked that movie. Jim Jesus debunks a lot of things. I mean, he's like had death threats from going after the Church of Scientology. That's how, for years. And, you know, he's gone after Stefan Molyneux. He's gone after the Zeitgeist movement. And he's really good at it. And he basically like learns as much about the organizations as people in them. His main thing with the light bulb is, there is a light bulb in New Jersey at the Edison laboratory that's been burning for 100 years, but it's like, it's like a 2-watt bulb. I mean, it's not a bulb you can light a room with. It's not running it's not running hot, you know?
And in the movie, though, there's one in a fire station that they had a birthday party for in the US in the movie.
Yeah, but that's like one bulb. No,
they actually had a birthday party for both of them.
Yeah, that's one bulb that, out of how many? So... I mean, there may have been planned obsolescence with light bulbs, but, you know, when this America outlawed them, people blame Obama because it happened during him, but it was actually something that was passed during Bush, and you know, it had a date, like an expiration date. Like, they can't sell bulbs over, I don't know, it's like 50 watts or something. Like, you can't get bright bulbs. They're incandescent anymore. So I actually stockpiled them. I bought 100 of them. And the thing is, like, okay, I don't use compact fluorescent bulbs. But that's what was supposed to replace them. And there was this big conspiracy about, like, the patent had expired on the light bulb. But, you know, the patent expired on the light bulb, like, 60 years ago or something. So, you know, it was supposed to be a thing to, like, save energy in America. But the thing is, we got some of the, a couple of the compact fluorescent bulbs, but I hate the color of them. They're also, like, incredibly dangerous. If you break them, like, they release mercury vapor. Literally, if you if you break one, you are required by law to hire an EPA authorized environmental spill cleanup crew to come to your house and clean it up. The thing is, like, in the couple years since they've outlawed them, and I've only used, like, you know, 7 of my stockpiled 100 bulbs. I should probably sell them all on eBay, because basically LED bulbs got so cheap and good that I replaced all the bulbs in the house with LED bulbs over a period of like 6 months, because they're like $6 each now and they last like 100 times longer than an incandescent bulb. And I like the color on them. So the only thing I'm saving my 82 incandescent bulbs for, or 92, is we have this one light that the cats love to sit under because it's near the couch. They can sit right under, and it's kind of like a, you know,
it's all warm.
Yeah, it's kind of like those, you know, they're like a little hot dog in a movie theater sitting under the heat lamp. So yeah, I guess
got a wee blanket by a radio for the dog. Radio. I'm just like a radio radiator.
So I'm going to keep the bulbs for warming the rest of the cats we'll have in our life. So.
But the thing is, there is, what was interesting when I watched that film, The Light Bulb Conspiracy, there was a guy on it making a workers' argument. So it wasn't just like, oh, look at these evil capitalists who want to make us keep buying things. There was people on it that were making an argument for the workers, saying, if things don't break down every so often, then you're going to need less people to actually do the job because nobody's going to actually buy the product. So that, it was interesting to see that spin on it as well.
Well, isn't that a constant theme, though? A lot of people do say things like, well, yeah, the world's growing and more people are needing jobs. Like,
but I'm not talking about like automation, because I mean, Henry Hazlitt shows in Economics and One Lesson that automation doesn't actually, it causes jobs, and well, it causes people to lose jobs in the short run, but in the long run, because it makes things cheaper, actually it ends up creating more jobs.
Yeah,
there's, well, I was actually talking,
there's also things that can't be produced by people. Like, a really good example is integrated circuits. I mean, they're designed by people for sure, but the factories that produce them have to be so clean that you couldn't actually have people in them. And the work is so minute that human hands could not do it, even with a microscope. So they have factories that are called lights out factories. They're literally, there's no lights in these factories because robots don't need
lights. Machines working.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think one day we'll have robot rights? It'll be like robots need to have a constant.
You're getting a bit Isaac Asimov over there.
No, I know. I'm just going over the score. But
I think robots will take rights. I don't think they'll be bestowed on them. I mean, literally, think about, you know, the rule of robotics of like not harming anybody. I mean, that's broken every day with drones. Drones are flying robots that kill brown people.
It's
sad actually that that's happening.
And now Amazon have been testing drones to deliver, to ship things.
I'm still waiting on
it's
that.
Interesting. I don't know, like, I don't know if it's how plausible it is. It's an
you could have a drone port in your roof,
but then someone could grab your drone
like Santa coming down the chimney.
No, the drones would be able to defend themselves.
I'm sorry
themselves.
To break that to you.
Drones would have to be armed.
A built-in force field. Love it.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
And we keep talking about it.
Cool. Keep talking about it.
All right.
We're too busy talking to D-Talk Radio.
I know.
So what do you guys think of Barack Obama?
I think he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
I don't think much of him at all. I don't let him into my brain.
Yeah. I also think that David Cameron is a ridiculous human being, and Davy Barker suggested that he might not be human at all.
Well, Barney, our dog Barney, Michael, has a theory that you are actually three cats in a man suit.
That your dog thinks I am that?
Yes, so what's your response to our dog?
That's pretty funny. Three cats in a man suit. Is that a thing? That sounds familiar.
No, we started a daft joke because we were kind of joking. We sometimes, I don't know if you do this with your pets or if we're just weird, but we narrate the dog. If you know what I mean,
like, we kind of imagine,
we've got a wee
that.
Voice for him, we kind of imagine what he's thinking.
Right, you do realize we're going to have doctors at the door.
And it's because,
the National Health is going to take you away. You're going to get sectioned.
Like, it's okay. You're going to come to a nice place for electroshock therapy.
But we like joking about conspiracy theories,
so we
sometimes make the joke that the dog thinks that everyone is just three dogs in a man suit.
Yeah, like our dog, like if he takes to people, like, I don't know, and we like to joke around about that kind of stuff. It's daft, but
I know
it's what we do.
Yeah.
Chandler Pierre.
That's our life.
Chandler just posted a picture of, so I gave up vaping and I sent all my vape supplies to Chandler and Davi. Yeah. So I'm looking
you know
at
what?
This picture
That's really
and I'm like, man, this is so much stuff. This is amazing. This is enough to like open a store.
Do you know what? I was just going to say, I actually, I've stopped myself. I used it to quit. I quit in August, so I'm off the vape now. So I actually got my stuff together. I cleaned out stuff. I got all my batteries together and all my kind of little bits and bobs. And I gave it all to my dad, actually. So he's been a smoker for like 40 years, 45 years, I think.
That long?
I think so, yeah. Well, he's 60-something. I don't know.
Oh, that's crazy. I've actually seen the picture. That is a lot of vaping supplies, man. You are
Michael.
A collector, man. Sorry.
But that's also very generous because you're
addict.
passing the torch.
Yeah.
Katie had a nice good. Little vaping shop you used to go to.
Oh,
called
I love
the Vaping
it.
Caterpillar.
Do you know what? I actually would still go in there just to give the man business by buying my dad stuff because, like, he's really good. I think he's a good capitalist. He makes his own product. He's really awesome. He's always got cool TV on while you're in. He's tattooed. He always engages you. He asks you what you're into and he always offers to like make you your favorite flavors. He says, bring me stuff and I'll make it.
And see, the other thing as well, he said the second that marijuana becomes like legalized in any way in Britain, Scotland, he's already got a plan in place to turn his shop into a dispensary.
Like,
he's like, he's projecting.
He's basically saying like he knows what he'll do if that ever happens, which by the way, it won't in Glasgow.
Not anytime soon.
No, never. Nah, I don't think I'll see it. I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime.
Probably not.
But you know, as America does, Britain will maybe soon follow. So we'll see what happens.
But, you know, Holland did it and they're just an hour's flight away.
Well, they're just
and
up they, the road.
They've decriminalized since the 70s, but still
yeah, but
Britain
nobody
is very
takes them
anti,
seriously.
You know.
Nobody takes them seriously.
I love Holland.
I do. I love Amsterdam, but I'm just saying. But
you ever been, Michael? Did you ever go? I know you've been about Europe. Did you ever visit Amsterdam?
Yes, and I spent the 24 hours in Amsterdam hanging out at a squat and did not go into town because I was trying to capture a sick stray cat to help my friend bring it to the vet. And it took
as you do
hours.
Naturally.
Yep.
Right.
So
that is not what we were doing.
I picked
we did
cats,
the opposite of that.
I picked cats over whores and drugs because that's the kind of person I am.
I go whores and drugs all the way.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Is that what you're into?
No, you can't say
that on
the
radio.
You already did. So I want to talk about quitting vaping.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're a pharmacy tech and I can pretend to ask you for medical advice in the same way that
I can pretend to give you it.
Yeah, in the same way that like, my wife is a paralegal and people ask her legal advice when she can't give
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah,
So I believe I am patient zero with a new malady with a new, what's the word?
Like syndrome. A side effect of,
a syndrome.
Right.
Not a disease, but a syndrome. So,
sure.
Vaping in the form it is now with like the, you know, great batteries and great cartomizers and great mixtures and flavors. And, it's only been around a few years. Like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they didn't really have it. They had like electronic cigarettes, which were like pre-filled and horrible.
Oh, they were awful.
But in the past 2 or 3 years, it's developed into this like science, this nicotine delivery system that is really fun and great. And it's like drugs. It's like drugs mixed with cake. It's so good.
And I know.
All the cool kids are doing it. And everybody's quitting smoking and vaping instead. I mean, like, to the point where, like, when I see somebody smoking, it's almost like,
I'm like,
it's almost like the way I'd see if I saw somebody walking around with, like, a 1990s boombox listening to cassettes. Although that would be kind of retro and cool. I guess it'd be more like, I don't know, watching somebody.
A guy with, like, a big, big old 80s cell phone, maybe?
Yes.
Like, you'd be like, why haven't you updated? Yes. Why haven't you upgraded? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. That's what smoking looks like to me now. But here's the thing. Vaping is safer than smoking. I can tell that from, I first smoked a cigarette when I was 7, but I started smoking whenever I could get a cigarette when I was about 15. And when I went to college, when I was 18, I pretty much started smoking every day, like a pack a day. And by the time I was 30, it was up to 2 packs a day. And by the time I quit vaping, it was almost up to 3 packs a day. It was like 2.5 to 3 packs a day. And I inhaled and I held it in too. I mean, I was a really major smoker. And I have asthma and I'm also allergic to smoke.
Okay.
But not badly allergic to smoke, mainly just have asthma. So I should not be putting anything in my lungs except air. Yeah. So 2.5 years ago, I quit smoking for good and started vaping and immediately felt better. The thing is, I got even more addicted to nicotine because it doesn't choke you the way that smoke does. And you can get really strong flavors to the point where I was probably consuming the nicotine of like 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Sure.
And I have a lot of friends that do this. It's not that rare. And, you know, some people say, well, why don't you moderate it and just get lower flavors? And I'm like, because I like it, man, because I'm an addict. You know, it's like, it's all or nothing with me. I mean, literally to the point where I started getting bad asthma for the first time since I was a kid, like around January this year. Started seeing a doctor, started shelling out of pocket, and getting, you know, and I have health insurance that I bought. It's supposed to kick in tomorrow. So that's going to help with the expenses.
Woo-hoo.
And, you know, it's not Obamacare. It's I paid for it. Although we have to go through the Obamacare phone line to get any insurance now. You have to get turned down for Obamacare to get insurance now. So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
oh dear.
So I spent all this money on doctors and still like it didn't get better. And, you know, one of the things the doctor said was you should quit vaping eventually. And I was like, well, why not do it now? I mean, I'm having trouble breathing. So I quit first day of spring, which is coming up on 2 weeks ago. No, it was just 2 weeks ago. So, and it actually got worse when I quit vaping. Here's the thing. Here's the new syndrome that I don't think vaping has been around long enough for many people to get like heavily addicted to chain vaping, high level nicotine. I mean, I was literally just sucking on one of these things all day, every day.
Yeah.
So, and also to the point of like, sometimes I'd get up to pee in the middle of the night and vape a little bit before I like sleep vape, you know, like I couldn't go 4 hours. I couldn't go 8 hours without it. I had to do it in the sleep. So, so I quit and all of a sudden, like all of the crap that was in my lungs started coming out. I mean, there's like a quart, like I feel like I'm drowning. And
really
to the point where it's been like hard to do the show sometimes. And, you know, so I've been having people substitute and stuff. So, I think this is a new syndrome that there's probably someone else who's done this, but not someone who has a radio show or is going to blog wildly about it. And here's the thing. I'm not saying I think there needs to be regulation on this stuff. I think that heroin should be freely available in vending machines, you know, and I don't think more regulation is a problem. I did get some vape from a company that I don't usually go to, like one bottle of it, and used it, and it made me really sick. And it was an allergic reaction because it was, most vapes are made from artificial flavors, and this was made from natural flavors, and it was apple. And I'm very slightly allergic to apples. Like, I eat apples, but my throat itches a little bit afterwards, but I still eat them, you know? And, but it turns out that, like, when you have a food allergy and you concentrate and vape something from that food, it's devastating. So that kind of harmed me too. But, and I only did that for 3 days, and it didn't really harm me until I, you know, have 3 days of it. So I'm really sick, and the doctors got me on a bunch of medications that are sort of helping. And I'll mention these because you probably prescribed these all, or, you know, told these out all day long in the drugstore. So, Ventolin, which is the, Advair, Advair, which is the purple discs.
Salbutamol?
Which are like, you know, $350 per month or something. And
Well, are they made by GlaxoSmithKline?
Yeah, that sounds right.
You struggle to say that, don't
Glasgow.
You?
They make a lot. They make a lot of that.
Yeah, it's the purple disc thing. It's a twice daily preventative, Advair Discus. And then I'm also on the rescue inhaler, which is albuterol. And then they started me yesterday on another one, which is, what's it called? Singulair. It's the generic form of Singulair, which is a once daily.
Wait, I can tell you, because that's something that we don't in this country, because we have the one
Montelukast.
Montelukast.
Yes,
Montelukast. Yeah, and it's for, like, I believe it's for, like, congestion kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a bronchodilator.
He's a government drug dealer.
Yeah, it's a bronchodilator. So I'm on all that crap, and it's kind of working, you know?
Well, do you know what? In this country, you Singulair, the doctors rarely prescribe it because we have a national health service, so people get generics that are made by multiple different companies.
The
NHS here is just it's crazy, man. It's just,
and
it's
they I think we talked about this before, but they actually are in sort of cahoots with the people that do nicotine, which is like you know, like the nicotine replacement thing, the patches, the gum and all that. So they push that in pharmacies here because the NHS have a deal with them. So there you go. Well, government healthcare.
I'm doing the patches, but barely, like a third of a patch at a time, and I'm barely missing nicotine. Because I'm so sick of it.
I know. Sometimes that does happen.
Worms.
It can be a drag.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Tell them. Yeah. Don't tell me, tell them. Save it for the show, Missy.
Okie dokie.
You call me Grandpa if I call you Missy.
Too weird.
I like it when you call Davi, when you call him Barker. Stop racially oppressing me, Barker.
Barker is always racially oppressing me.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big thing here, calling someone by their last name.
I like it. It's rare here. It happened a lot in my boarding school. It was very common in my boarding school. Everybody was called by their last name. But...
A lot of the male dominated workplaces I've been in, you get a lot of people that do call you by your surname for some reason. I don't know
where men dominate men.
Basically one of those,
you know what I mean?
Like, one of those testosterone fueled workplaces.
I've always kind of worked in male workplaces since I was like,
but you just
20.
keep to yourself.
Well, you're a postman, you're which we should probably discuss at some point, because that means Chris Cantwell wants to kill you. Do you know that?
No, but Royal Mail is a private company in the
UK.
It's on the London Stock Exchange. It is no longer.
Well, the US Post Office is technically a private company too. Do you know that?
Mm.
So, I did not know that, no.
So you can't get away with that because it's a private company. No, but
it's on
the
stock exchange, man.
I don't, I have a kind of a response to that because I kind of think, you know, I think that government sucks and the state sucks, but also they provide, at least in this country, a lot of employment. Like sometimes you can't, like, let me put
you're not saying
way.
That's a good if, thing. You're saying it's unavoidable.
It's kind of unavoidable because, like,
yeah, let's clear that up because I was let's not say that it's good that the state employs people.
No, missed opportunities
in the private sector.
What I'm saying is, yeah, it's just that there's a lot of opportunity here. And if somebody, I'm not going to name anybody names, I'm just saying if someone doesn't want to work, it's quite a good argument to say, well, I'm not going to work for the state when they could probably get a job and make a living.
But then if they don't, they'll sponge off the state.
Yeah.
So, it's,
so whatever, you know, you can do
is
what you want.
Is it still easy to get the dole there if you're lazy?
Oh. Well, now this is controversial, controversial as always. It's actually that they don't make it easy. There are a lot of hoops you can go through, but if you're willing to jump through them, it can be quite a lucrative thing. Now,
but I was going to say it is easier if you never get a job. Like,
yeah.
See from 16, if you go on the dole straight away in this country. Is it 18 now? Well, I don't know. I'm not keeping up with it, but I do know it's easier if you go on the dole straight away and never ever have a job.
Yeah, because
but whereas if you've had a job and if you've been, like, for example, sacked, it's almost a nightmare to get on the dole.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you go straight from school to the job centre, we call it, and you say...
I know.
It's quite ironic, actually.
That sounds Orwellian. Everything does.
Actually...
So what was that tweet that you guys shared that was like Scotland Yard saying, we're keeping an eye out for bad tweets or something like that?
Oh, well, they were monitoring tweets at one point saying that anybody caught saying anything sort of disrespectful. I think it was in the aftermath of an accident, wasn't it, Dan?
Yeah, there was a... What happened here, there was a bin lorry, call it. So basically, you know... Yeah, bin lorry, you get that term in America. Yeah, basically what had happened is the driver had kind of...
passed out.
Yeah, he passed out at the wheel and then it went through the big square in Glasgow and there was a few people
had
died.
Yeah.
And then Police Scotland put out a tweet saying that anyone that says anything that basically they deemed offensive about it, they'll look into them and prosecute them. I'm not saying we should make jokes about it.
No, somebody made a joke about like somebody knocking down people... like Skittles in Scotland or something, and it was like kind of a, I think it might have even been an English person making kind of a Scottish person joke, like get rid, but at the same time he shouldn't have to be prosecuted. I mean, the guy just don't talk to him, never, don't acknowledge him.
Yeah. They've been doing that here for years.
But
I mean,
you know,
when there was the riots in London.
Oh yeah,
there were some people here who
started
a Facebook page going. It was called "Let's Start a Riot in Glasgow,"
idiots.
And this a few years ago. And then there was almost immediately another Facebook page called "Let's Not Start a Riot in Glasgow."
Yeah.
But the guys that started that Facebook page, the police started investigating them for starting a Facebook page. I know, like, it's this whole incitement thing, you know, people can do
I'll
you
for
giving a speech like incitement to riot, which is not a crime.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine the other day about free speech. Dan, remember I was telling you this?
I do, yeah.
And basically, my colleague's views on it was that you can think whatever you want to think, but if it's going to offend someone, keep it to yourself. Now, and to that, I stood for a minute and I thought, how am I going to approach this? And I just said, well, who decides what's offensive? And
exactly.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Who decides?
Was it not Voltaire said, if you want to know who rules you, look at who you can't criticize?
Yeah.
Worse to that effect.
Anybody.
Say that one again. That's pretty deep, and I want to make sure people got it, Dan.
Say it loudly.
I believe it's, if you want to know who rules over you, look at who you cannot criticize. I'll need to check it.
Worms.
Voltaire. Worms.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. You gotta wait till 10 seconds. This is a teaching hospice.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is also covered by the BIPCOT No Government License and allows reuse by anyone except governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. I'm here with Dan Green and Michael Dean.
And who are you?
Hello.
It all rhymed. I'm Katie Green.
Yep, you guys are in Scotland.
We are in Scotland, yeah.
Yep, and it's pronounced Libpar, not Libpar. Libpar.
Oh, I apologize.
In camel case. No, you should learn it. I think somebody else got it wrong too. It might have been MK. It's newspeak from like 1984. It's how it would be in 1984 because it's libertarian paradise. So it should be Libpar. Even though, but it,
sure thing,
you know,
but
it's pronounce
spelled
it.
Libpar. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, you guys have a podcast. What's the URL of it?
Greeningoutpodcast.com. You will find us at.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So we were talking about my illnesses. You know, you ever notice that with old people, like you talk to them and they just talk about their illnesses?
I love old people.
Okay, well, then you love me because I'm old. All right, so talk about your theories about my new syndrome, which is quitting heavy vaping, making you sicker for... my doctor thinks it's going to take a month or possibly two before I feel better. And she said that I need to do breathing exercises because I'm breathing very shallow because when I breathe normal, it makes me cough. And I'm also like spewing out... you know, just ounces and ounces. Like I have a waste basket with plastic liner and I'm literally using it like a spittoon. Like,
I'm
glad my wife is a tolerant woman because this is not something I'd want to do around other people. It's really gross, but it's part of the process of getting better. And I have like lowered oxygen level. Like my oxygen level is like 85% of what it should be in my blood.
Right.
So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, vaping, like it's, sort of like smoking or inhaling anything for that matter will go into your lungs and some of it will stay there. And I'm sure if it happens with cigarette smoke, I'm quite sure it will happen with oil vapor. So I'm imagining that you're just coughing up a ton of like oil basically that's sort of...
It's propylene, glycol, and glycerin. Here's the thing. Like, you know, the FDA in America, like, generally considers both of those things to be safe for food use. But vaping, first of all, I don't know if I trust the FDA. Secondly, heating them and inhaling them into your lungs. Here's the thing. Like, I am basically criticizing vaping as not safe. And I think that people are... deluding themselves into thinking it's safe. It's safer than smoking, but it can be, I think, less safer than smoking in a way because it's easier to consume a lot more nicotine, which is bad for your heart and your lungs and everything. But it's also just, it's a lot easier to just chain vape this than it is to chain smoke because it's less, it feels less choke inducing when you're doing it. And it's also cheaper. I mean, like smoking three packs a day. I mean, that's like, that's a third of a carton, and a carton's like $60. You know, that's a $20 a day habit. And also
here, that's actually a £20 a day. Yeah. Here it would be double that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you can also vape places you can't smoke. You can do it more places. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I'm going to catch crap from people for criticizing vaping because there are people who are so religious about it that they think that if you criticize anything about it, you're like part of the government conspiracy to shut it down. And I will reiterate that I think that heroin and assault rifles should be freely available in vending machines as long as they're privately owned and operated. I don't think there should be any regulation on vaping. I will say I think people should be careful of startup vape companies, and I think they should go with some of the not established, like owned by the tobacco companies, like, but established.
Trusted.
Yeah, like I really like vape.
Well recommended.
I'll still give here. Check this out. I think vaping, I think people should realize it's dangerous, but I'm going to give you free advertising for my favorite vape company because they always made good vape consistently. It's the Plume Room. If you search the Plume Room in Minnesota, they make great vape. And it's
how do you spell that?
Plume, P-L-U-M-E, room.
Ooh, it's like it sounds like plum.
Plume.
With
hey, you'd always smell plume.
Yeah,
like a plume of smoke.
Yeah, and
plume.
You know, awesome. They're good. So, and there were some other places I got them that I'm not going to mention because I don't know that the other place is what made me sick that one time. But or it might have just been one batch. I don't want to put anybody out of business. But there was one other place that I got some vapes from that were not good. But yeah, so I'm basically saying I don't think vaping is safe, and I think people should not approach it like it's like drinking water. You know, here's an interesting thing. Okay, the woman in my Guns and Weed movie, Mama Liberty, the grandma that carries weapons into banks.
Oh, yeah.
She's really cool, and she's kind of like was kind of one of my Liberty mentors. Like, took me from minarchist to no government man. And she's really smart, and she's really into eating healthy, and she grows a lot of her own food, and she's a nurse. She's a retired nurse, and she's very interested in, like, she's never smoked pot, but she's interested in pot as a medicine, you know? And she doesn't smoke cigarettes, but she was interested when I started vaping, and she asked a lot of questions about it because she's interested in anything that's less dangerous, you know, than cigarettes for people.
Yeah.
So she wanted to know about it, and she's like, well, what's in it? How's it work? And I'm like, well, it's nicotine and flavorings and glycerin and propylene glycol. And she said, propylene glycol? And I said, yeah, well, you know, it's safe. It's people use it in food. And she said, not my food.
Oh, right. Okay. You know?
Does she not carry a gun into her bank?
Yeah, he just said that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that. She was great. And you know, I will admit that scene is actually faked. She carries the gun like that into that bank all the time. But I was there on Sunday and the bank wasn't open. So she just is going into the first door and then looking, and she's in the little entryway there, the windproof entryway where the FedEx box is. And then looks like she's about to go into the bank, and then we cut because I couldn't make it up there during a weekday. So, but she goes in there all the time.
Oh man. Our local bank, well, the one that we bank with, is so close to a police station. Oh man, the armed police, see the armed response unit, they would be circling the bank within minutes.
Well, that's actually
true with a lot of America too. And there are actually places, I mean, I would not go open carrying into my bank here in the big city of Casper where there's 50,000 people. It probably would not get the police called, but it could. But she is in a really small town, and they know her there. You know, everybody knows her in that town, so she can do that.
That's so cool, man. But like, you got any vapes, didn't you, Katie, that were like, they had no nicotine in them, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I switched to. I used it as a quitting method. I went into this thinking, okay, I'm going to stop. So I went
stop
and I
smoking,
bought a pen.
You mean?
Yeah, like I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes. So I went and I got a pen and I got a vape pen and I got the highest nicotine level and I worked my way down like every few weeks.
Like a methadone program.
Do you know what? Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
But now you don't smoke at all.
And now I don't smoke at all. And I'm actually around people all day that are smoking. And I have, in my job, I have to sort of go...
And you're around methadone all day as well.
Well, I'm around methadone all day too. I'm around drugs all day. So that just tells you something. But I'm around it, but I don't want to smoke because it's not good for me. And it's also incredibly expensive.
You're just kind of done with it, aren't you?
I was sick of it. You know what? It had a hold on my life. I don't like anything having a hold on me. I don't want anything to be like a total hold over my whole life. Like if I don't have a pack of cigarettes, I'm a raging...
Like you want to be independent. You're a raging word I can't say on radio.
Yeah, I'm a raging word I can't say on radio. It's funny because Dan and I talk about like this sort of stuff, like vaping, and but then we go save it for the show and then we actually call it the Fiend Bank.
Oh, you call it as
I put it in the Fiend Bank. So I'm like, I'm putting that in the Fiend Bank.
What's the Fiend Bank?
Sometimes I'll...
Something to say.
It's like... Yeah, it's like stuff I save.
Yeah, it's like things she'll maybe say during the day, and I'll be like, that would make good radio, and she'll be like, I'll put it in the Fiend Bank and maybe I'll say it when I'm on next time.
I've got a few.
What did you say before you were on the Fiends? When you had something to save for your podcast?
Oh, all we said was save it for the show. We'll just save it for the show.
I would say record one. I always said that's pod worthy.
Pod worthy.
Yeah.
We are not pod worthy.
I kind of know what you mean. Sometimes Katie and I are sitting talking and we're going to do a show maybe in an hour or two, like, and we find ourselves doing the show sitting on the couch before we've got into the studio.
We've been talking since I got in about, I don't know when I got in, like 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
We basically talked up until we sat down here.
You're talkers.
We are.
You know, the
you know what?
The trade magazine of talk radio is called Talkers. And that's what talk radio people are. Original. We're talkers. Like, yeah. I've been a talker since I was 5. You know, I've always, you know, a really good example of it too is like, I know some people that are pretty good guitar players that don't play in front of other people. Like, I only know they're good because I like strong armed them into playing a recording that they did, and they were shy about it. I learned to play guitar in a park. Like, before I could even play 3 chords, when I could play 2 chords, I was sitting in a park playing songs for people. You know, I've never had a problem like being in front of people.
Well, see, when I learned to play guitar, it was the time like my dad played in a band and stuff. And I remember he used to tell me stories about how he taught himself. And he'd basically bought me a guitar when I was about 10, 11. And he showed me G, C, and D, those 3 chords. And then he said, figure out the rest on your own. That's how I learned. He said, I'll help you if you need help, but you should figure it out on your own. You should learn to play this yourself. And then I ended up doing that, and he was primarily a bass player, but he always told me, he said, if you can play the guitar, you can play the bass.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put me into piano lessons.
My dad was like,
if you can play the piano, you can play practically anything. And that's not specifically true, because like instruments that need breath, like woodwind instruments, are a whole different kettle of fish. But there is something true about the idea of, if you can play the piano, then you can compose for all different instruments.
Yeah.
My parents really didn't like me. They bought me a clarinet.
They must have hated you.
When I was 10.
And I got electric guitars.
I still
and things.
Can't play the clarinet.
I still used my first electric guitar, and it was a Fender Squire Stratocaster, sitting, you know, the budget me. Range. And but it's full of like stickers and stuff. But I still play it. Then it was my first guitar. I got it when my first electric guitar.
To be honest, Dan, most of the stickers there still represent who you are.
So. I love that guitar, man.
It's okay. Awesome. And, you're awesome.
We're gonna have a special treat in the next segment. We're gonna have Nima Vidadi on.
Oh, amazing.
OMG.
Yep.
Great.
No way, man.
Yep.
Random.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. We have a special treat here. We have a call. We don't usually take calls because callers are stupid, but this caller's not stupid. This is the co-founder of the Freedom Fiends. We were talking about him. His name is Nima Vidadi, and he left to make babies. He just sits around all day with his wife making babies. And I'm talking to this Scottish couple here, the Greening Out podcast people. They can't hear him. He can't hear them. Well, no, they can hear him. I'm holding the phone up. So, Nima, you're driving in your car. Are you making babies while you're driving in your car? Nima. I think we lost him.
Nima.
Man,
Nima,
what a tease. I'm going to call him back. So, anyway. So, what do you guys think of my my illness, my self-diagnosis of something that no one's got?
You know what?
Yet?
It's possible because you've been doing it for so long that you're probably, like you say, patient X, you're probably one of the first generation of people that were really doing this. And maybe they don't have a radio show. Maybe there's an entire population of people going to their doctors saying, look, I'm really struggling. I'm coughing up oil. Is
because Michael was an early adopter of vaping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Or they tried blogging about it, and a bunch of religious people who are religious about blogging yelled at them. And
I mean, yeah,
I can survive that. I can stand up to criticism. Nima, is that you? Nima?
Yeah.
What's up, man? You're on the air. You're on the radio.
I'm on the air. That's awesome. What's up, fiends?
Yeah. Tell me what your life's like.
My life is awesome. My kids are awesome.
Kids? Wait. Is that plural?
Oh, yeah. There's another one on the way.
Ah, so you're making babies.
Making more.
Cool.
For anarchists coming out of my loins at an alarming rate.
Well, the phone's feeding back weird, so I can't talk to you, so you just talk. Go ahead and talk for a while.
I can fix it.
Yeah, all right.
You're on speakerphone.
All right. So,
it could be better than.
Yeah, man. Tell me what's new in Nima Land.
Another kid on the way. We think it might be a little boy. We're bouncing around some names. I guess we can't, although his name that we think it's going to be right now is really awesome. But I won't tell anybody until it's official.
All right.
Anarchopolco was awesome. Done editing all the audio for, I'm doing a live concert video of it. I'm done editing all the audio. I just got to, and tweaking it because the recording quality was not what I wanted it to be. And then four or five different people took different camera angles. So I just got to mix them all together and then I'll put that up on the YouTubes in a week or two.
Did you get paid?
I got a free hotel.
So you got everything you were promised.
I got everything I was promised. That's right.
Good. Good.
Which was free hotel. But man, it was so awesome. It was a whole lot of fun. And you know, the best part I think was, at conferences, you generally are stuck in the conference. At Anarchopolco, it was all the sweeter to skip the conference part and just be on the beach. Cause it was the alternative is being in a meeting room.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm at freaking beach.
I noticed that. I looked at
green mangoes.
Some of the pictures of it, some of the talks look underattended, but it looked like there were a lot of people there. And I was like, where is everybody? They must be at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was hard to sit inside when you could be in Acapulco or eating tacos or eating rotisserie goat flesh from baby goats, which is another thing I did.
Baby goats? No.
Yeah, it was sad. Sounds delicious. My wife was sad about it, but went in Mexico.
Wow. Did you go to strip clubs?
No. A lot of people went and did the nightlife things. Some people were kind of I was trying to show my friends this thing and show them how legit it was. And then on the Facebook page about it, it's like, we have the best strip clubs in all of Mexico. It's kind of like when Borat's like, my sister, number two prostitute in all of Kazakhstan. No, I did not attend any of the strip club events or I didn't do any of the clubbing either. Berwick and a dedicated crew of people went to do the clubbing every night, including Tatiana Morose, which I think she partied a little too hard to where she couldn't actually sing the night of the concert, which is fine, whatever, because it ended up being great anyway. But I pretty much just hung out by the beach, and a lot of people just hung out by the beach and talked and chit-chatted. And
she couldn't sing or she couldn't sing well? Did she perform?
No, she did not perform.
Wow.
She lost her voice.
That's partying hard, man. See, if that happened, I would just play the tape and lip sync and dance. Wouldn't you?
Huh?
Wouldn't you? I mean, I've actually seen punk shows where the singer lost his voice halfway through it and he just handed the mic out because everyone knew the words.
Yeah, that's the great thing about punk. Punk is like anarchy anyway. So,
rap
totally.
Can be that too. But she's not a rapper. She's a singer.
Her set is just her and acoustic guitar and voice, I'm pretty sure. So,
all right, hang on a sec. We're going to break.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you ones listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
It's Freedom Fiends. Talking to Nima Vidotti, who's stuck in traffic in Texas. So, Nima, I'm holding.
That's why you always use Fiend phone.
Yeah, we're using old phone. This is not Fiend phone. Old phone is not good. Katie wants to know about your music. What's up with your music?
Yeah, man. I actually have a project that's in the ether right now. Nothing concrete, but me, Dana Martin, and Rob Hustle have been talking about putting together a song/music video, kind of like a kids' rights thing, like the injustices the kids face at the hands of the state. Beat them down, but not like cheesy, like I'm the grown-up telling you what to do, like Nas did, like other rappers have done before, but more like a kid saying to the system.
Oh, we're on radio.
Did you dump me?
I dumped you.
Man, I lost
you
already. Yeah, I'm not used to being on the radio anymore. I let one slip.
Yeah, you did.
But, yeah, so we're possibly working on that. At least we've talked and done a lot of brainstorming on it, although we haven't put any notes to paper, so to speak. And then, if anybody else wants to collab, I've got a few people who talk to me, but I don't know, man, if I have it in me this year to do a whole nother big production where I mostly do everything by myself. But I'm more than willing to be a guest verse on somebody else's song or help out with the beat, but... I don't know. I think I'm past the days, at least this year, when I got another baby on the way, and I got one that's so young, of just doing everything myself. So if people want to collab, let me know.
So you met Rob Hustle and hooked up with him at Anacapuco, right?
Yeah, man. We actually really hit it off. He's a real cool cat. And he's like, I heard you and Ben. In fact, that's one of the reasons I called you. It reminded me that I wanted to talk to you and wish you well, wish you that you get better. But I was listening to you and Ben on your 12th step of Status Anonymous talking about newly minted libertarians. And I just thought, you know, Rob Hustle's kind of the opposite of that. He's a de facto anarchist. Like, he just doesn't buy into the system. It's not that he, like, read some website somewhere or listened to some podcast somewhere and said, yeah, that's me. I totally believe everything this guy says. He just always knew that the system is BS. He's not a doctrinaire about it. He's just kind of a realist, and he just wants to have fun. The dude just lives his life. He's like a salsa dancer. Like, he gets traveled around the world to teach salsa dancing.
Oh, I'm looking at this picture of him. That must be what this picture is of him with some lady's leg with high heels on, with her leg up over his shoulder. It looks like it's something dirty, but I think it's actually him salsa dancing.
Yeah. He's a professional salsa dancer. His lady friend, his, I don't know if they're a live-in couple or married or what, but Sunshine, she goes by. She's a salsa dancer, too, and it's probably her in the pic.
Yeah.
But she's real awesome, too. And so, yeah, they're just fun-loving people. He also does, mixed martial arts. He challenged Roger Ver to fight in, MMA style, rolling around and ground and pound kind of stuff.
Does Roger Ver do that, or just...
Yeah, apparently Roger Ver is early into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Huh.
It wasn't just like, hey, man, you want to fight me?
I know. Boston Tea Party's into that, too. Into some form of mixed martial arts. I know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, yeah, man, me and Rob probably, in fact, he was like, man, we got to take this on tour, because it was just, you know, me and him for the musical performance, and it kind of really clicked. So, you know, I'm down for stuff like that. I don't know about a full-fledged tour, man, especially after hearing all your stories about how it kind of kills you.
Yeah.
But I'd be down to do another show or two with Rob, you know, at a conference or something.
You know, Boston travels to Europe and stuff, and I'm like, how can you be a gun guy and go places you can't take a gun? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I could take a knife, or even if I don't have a knife. I think he's kind of like Mike in Better Call Saul last night.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was such a great scene.
That was.
Such a great scene.
That was. And we won't spoil it for the
point on the IGN review when they said they found it kind of questionable that no matter what, Mike wouldn't bring a gun. He kind of seems like the guy that would never be caught slipping, you know?
Yep. But it did allow for some interesting stuff, which I don't want to have to put in a spoiler alert here for the Scottish people who are patiently listening. So I'm going to let you go. Nima, when you get to a point where you can try Fiend Phone with me, drop me an email and we'll get you up and running on it.
All right, we'll do. I just want to thank you for your continued service to Liberty, Michael. You're doing great things over there. And thanks to the Scottish folks. You guys are a joy to listen to as well.
All right. Worms,
thank
man.
You.
Take care,
thank
brother.
You.
Peace. Peace. All right, that was the first call the Fiends have taken in over a year, and you know,
that's
people
cool.
are like, why don't you interview so and so, and I'm like, because it's gonna suck, and I'm just like, you know, but Nima calls on the phone, I'm like, okay, you're on the air right now, I'm doing a show. You know, with anybody else I'd be like, yeah, call me back, I'm doing a show, but you just got to put Nima on when he calls.
Well, yeah, yes. he's awesome. Dad and I really
Fiend
like him
for life.
So yeah,
and it's one of those things as well where, like, you know, it's like you could kind of sometimes sit someone down and try and lecture them about, like, liberty, but it's much easier for them to watch a movie or listen to a song or something like that, and that to get into their head, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a much easier way to get ideas.
I like a gun for everyone. I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
With Ben Stone as Santa Claus?
I haven't actually seen. I've only heard it.
Oh, look at the video. On YouTube.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, Ben Stone plays Santa Claus in it, giving guns to all the kids. Are you guys on the Freedom Fiend site right now? There's somebody from Glasgow, or was a few minutes ago.
Oh, I was. No, I was on it. I was having a look.
We were having a wee. Yeah.
All right. So
that's usually us.
Where were you before Nima rudely interrupted us?
I think we're talking about your health stuff and the vape pens. And I think that vaping's become a huge thing. They're bringing out a lot of stores here. And it's not that I actually think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing to, but see, this is where it kind of, I do worry about obviously long-term effects, but I don't think it should be regulated. I just think I want people like you, Michael. I think everybody needs to take responsibility for what they do. So if you're going to, you know, if you're going to smoke, take responsibility for that. If you're going to smoke a vape pen, do your research, find out, ask people who are doing it. Where do you go? Maybe, you know, ask a few friends, go online, read a few reviews.
Sometimes you sound like a government health advert, but not in a bad way.
No,
but like,
I'm just saying that it's good. I think people should be more.
Because you're giving people choice.
I think there's a problem with the fact that most health information gets filtered through governments to the point where, if you're giving health advice that's useful, people tend to discount it because they're like, oh, you sound like the government. You sound like my mom and dad, you know? And I just want to make it really clear. Like, what I'm saying is, don't think vaping is safe. It's not safe. It's safer than smoking, but it can probably be more dangerous in a way because you can kind of abuse it more. It's cheaper and less immediately damaging. You know, another thing is that, is that the propylene glycol is hydroscopic. It draws water in. So it not only does the goop sit in your lungs, it pulls water into your lungs too.
Are we debunking vaping?
We're not debunking it, but we're kind of going, look, it's not a cure. It's like, I think people looked at it as a savior, like, oh, finally there's a cure. When really it is an addiction to nicotine. It's another addiction. And if you kind of look at it as, okay, I can wean myself down using this medium of nicotine, replacement therapy, whatever you want to call it. It's just, it is, I looked at it as an alternative to the patches or the gum or anything like that. And I have to say, it's been a great thing for me anyway. I quit and I just gave all my stuff to my dad. So
there was a cartoon I saw. There's a great sort of British
it's a satirical magazine
called Private Eye, and they had this thing, and it's like the firing squad, and all the guys in the firing squad are like falling asleep, and the guy with the blindfold on is standing there, and he's got the cigarette in his mouth, and it just says under it, "Damn e-cigarettes."
So he stands there forever, vaping, I know. But I understand...
Visual humor on the radio, I know.
I understand what you say, Michael, about the way that you can kind of go on it forever. I did find myself, even in work, in the back room of work, just kind of sitting... sucking on my vape pen when I didn't really have to be doing that. It was just because it tasted really good. I got like a new flavor
My wife smoked like 3 cigarettes a day, and she's vaping a lot more than that because it's more pleasant, and also because she can do it at work. Her boss doesn't mind if she vapes at her desk. He would mind very much if she smoked at her desk, and it would actually be illegal in the building that she's in.
Well, even now, they've actually banned all e-cigarettes from NHS, National Health Service hospital grounds.
Yeah, again, what we were talking about earlier, fact that they're in cahoots with the nicotine, the gum people.
But Dan, what I'm saying is, like, it is true. They are kind of to a level, not untested. They've been tested in the countries where they're legal, but not kind of long term.
What you're saying is that's their rationale for, like, even though they're in cahoots with these nicotine replacement companies, they say, oh, it's untested, and that's their excuse.
Yeah, but...
Well, they say that about marijuana, too.
Oh, well, they say
even though it's been around forever.
Yeah,
I know.
Do you remember the great Bill Hicks thing when he's talking about, like, when God must have made the earth, and he's saying,
don't
like...
Don't swear when you say this.
No, it's okay, but he's saying, like, at one point he must have gone... oh my, I've left pot everywhere. People are going to think they're supposed to smoke this.
It's a weed. I mean, people, I laugh because it's a weed that grows. Like, it's a weed.
Yeah, in some countries it's actually considered a weed. Like, it's considered a nuisance.
I mean, they do grow in all different kinds of environments. And in some parts of the world, it grows sort of wild in the streets.
Of course it does, yeah.
People go around trying to...
They call it weed for a reason. Yeah, it's just not here because it's too
We don't have the weather conditions, but hotter countries obviously have that. Yeah,
it's way too cold here. So, I've always wanted a Venus flytrap. Do you know that?
I don't know how we got there, but okay.
I always thought they were cool plants, man. And I've always wanted one. I think I might try and grow one.
Okay.
Like a Venus flytrap. Because I just think they're cool. I just think they're so funny how like this... like they attract the flies with the redness and then they go, just munch them. Carnivorous plants are cool, man.
That was supposed to be a...
It's just you that likes carnivorous plants.
No, I like Venus fly traps. They're pretty awesome. I like carnivorous plants. I think they're pretty cool.
How did we get to carnivorous plants?
Well, that's what a Venus flytrap is, isn't
it? I suppose you could say that marijuana is a carnivorous plant because maybe it eats your brain away.
Nope. That's not accurate. Nope. I think you could argue it, but you would fail.
And there you go.
No, carnivorous plants are pretty cool. I like them. Dan, I will work on getting you a Venus flytrap, sir.
Thank you.
Aww.
You're very, very welcome.
That's so sweet.
There's another one as well, and I can't remember what they're called, but I remember seeing one once, and they're like these big tubes. And what the flies do is the flies get attracted to them. Trap doors. Yeah, they're trap doors and they fall down.
Oh,
and they just... Yeah. It's cool, man. Nature.
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 It's terrifying. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends.
Ooh.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends. All right, man. So, I want to complain really quickly about a couple things. Since this is a Status Anonymous meeting, I don't have any experience, strength, and hope. I'm just going to come in and vomit on everybody with my problems. So, this thing happened again. It happened before with Jeff Berwick, and it happened again today, where somebody hired me to do consulting, and I did a bunch of consulting for them, and then they said, oh, I didn't realize I hired you for consulting. And people hearing that would probably think, well, Michael must be miscommunicating. And I'm like, I go back and read through the emails.
You do
and
not it's do
like,
that.
Here's where he hired me. Here's where he said, yes, I'll pay you $75 an hour. And then here's where I start consulting. But the guy actually, I only did an hour of consulting and he paid me the $75 reluctantly. So first of all, if anyone hires me for consulting now, they are going to pay 2 hours up front before I do any consulting. That's my new rule. Mm-hmm. $150 in my PayPal or Bitcoin, and then we start the consulting. And my wife says, like, she hires consultants all the time. Her law firm does, like, you know, people who are experts in something. None of them do anything before they get paid in advance. They get a retainer. So that's how I'm going to do it. The second thing is, I reinforced this week why I'm not trying to get on any more radio stations and why radio seems silly to me. We're on 32 stations and there are about 10 stations that I still call once in a while because I have a pre-existing relationship with them where they say, yeah, we're going to get you on eventually. Call me back in a month. Call me back in a month. Call me back in 2 weeks, whatever. And there's this one in Kansas that, like, I've literally put 40 hours talking and emailing and going back and forth with them over the past 2 years. And it was getting really close. And we were like doing a lot of emails back and forth. They just wrote me, like, we're supposed to be starting on there a couple days ago. And they wrote me earlier this week and said, oh, sorry, everything's on hold because we're selling the station. And I'm like, all the work I did to get that disappointment. And it's like, why? It's like, we're already on the internet in Kansas, you know? So what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the internet all over the world as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the point. It's interesting that you're having these kind of problems because, well, I suppose it's kind of like this show would never be on in the UK.
No, in the UK, we wouldn't be allowed to talk about the things that we talk about on our show.
There is like no such thing.
You can't tweet about these things, let alone be on government-controlled radio.
No, not at all. Yeah, libertarianism is just, it's still very, it's in its infancy.
I would say in the UK, yeah.
Yeah, and some people get it miscommunicated here. Some people think that it's like, it's something rich people are into, you know, because it will help them.
Put money into tax. Yeah, yeah, they think it's just about tax or just about guns.
But see, Katie and I, we're not rich at all. We live in a small one-bedroom flat, you know, and that's the thing. But, like, when I try and explain it to people, I basically, you know, I take it back down to, you know, the two things, you know, like as in non-aggression and things like that, you know, and like free markets and things, you know. But it's interesting how you can get into it with people because, see, when I talk to people, like, when we get a bonus in work, they're like, oh yeah, it's to maybe £200 or whatever. But then when the tax man gets in there and I'm like, we shouldn't have to pay tax, and they're like, oh no, you can't not pay tax, as if that's something kind of crazy, which is sort of weird to me. I don't understand, because a lot of the people I speak to just seem naturally libertarian, but they don't have the words. They just don't have the words to put it out. And the fact is, I bring it back, see, when people talk to me about government, because government is big here, and like social justice, you know, I'm doing quotation marks, is a big deal here. All you need to do is just bring it back to the two things. If you accept that violence is wrong and that stealing is wrong, then you have to accept that government is wrong, because they steal your money through taxes and you've got no choice. They'll lock you in a cage if you don't. Yeah, and there's the violence.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying, Dan. I just think it's a bit aggressive the way you put it across. It's like, this is what it is. It's liberty.
People are like, it's not aggressive. And I asked you guys to give a quick summation, and it's hard to give anything but the bullet points in a kind of bullety way in 1 minute.
I think we should also mention property rights as well. Because
I made a few notes about I consider myself more an anarchist than a libertarian. And I think that free market, more choice, it's the next logical conclusion. Things have been done for so many hundred years. They're not working. Things aren't getting better. We have to do something here.
Yeah, people complain about the state of the world. You go, well,
self-sufficiency, self-ownership. It's the way forward, I believe.
Exactly. More choice. That's how we like to put it to people now. Instead of saying to people like, oh, we're not against this. We just want more choice. Like, instead of being against healthcare, we're not against healthcare. We just want people to have more choice.
A choice.
As opposed to one government controlled healthcare system. Choice.
Choice.
Choice. Choice.
I think that's the best way to put it, you know?
Yeah. That would never be Obama's tagline was hope and change. No politician will ever get elected running under choice because it scares people.
It does, and I don't understand why.
And politicians cannot bring you choice. They can only limit choice. Even the libertarian ones.
Oh, completely agree with you there, man.
So, thanks, you guys, for a great show.
Thank you so much, Michael. Always
enjoy
fun
talking to you, Michael.
I know. Worms.
Worms.